Hi, I'm Carla Coffey, your coach and fitness influencer of Over the Next Hill podcast. Welcome to the show. This podcast is sponsored by Coffee Crew Coaching. Today, I'd like to welcome in a friend and today's co-host, Christina Snyder. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Hi, Carla. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone.
So, Christina, I know you just finished a marathon, but tell me and our audience a little bit about you and your latest marathon.
Well, I started running marathons in 2012, and those were very long, grueling races, but I got to the point where 30 marathons in, I decided to go ahead and sign up for Marathon Pregnant. So I ran it last week at 26 weeks, and I hadn't signed up till 21 weeks, so I kind of just took it one day at a time, saw how I felt, met with my doctors, and then decided to get to the starting line. I didn't know if I was going to finish, but I wanted to get to the starting line at least.
Awesome. So that's key, right? Asking a doctor's opinion. So for those of you listening in, I am not a doctor, and I don't pretend to be one on a podcast. So that's always the first recommendation, right, is check with a doctor. So 26 weeks, and you did finish the marathon.
Yes.
Yeah. How was the training going into that marathon? What was that like for you?
It was pretty rough because especially like the first 12 weeks, I had a lot of nausea. And luckily for me, I had already kind of met with a registered dietitian, so she kind of helped me work through the nausea. And I really wasn't running a whole lot. I didn't really commit to the race until 21 weeks because those first 3 months were pretty miserable. But I kept on top of my nutrition. I took in protein shakes. I joke that my sport those first 3 months was staying hydrated and eating because those were difficult enough. So as much as I love getting outside and running, the nausea was pretty difficult and I didn't push myself to exercise if I was not hydrated. So I'd maybe go outside and walk with my son, who's 2. And then later in the day, if I had kind of caught up with eating a little bit and getting hydrated and I didn't feel as sick, I would jog maybe 3 laps around the neighborhood, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes here and there. Sometimes I would do 2 runs a day or a walk and then a run or just lift weights. If I could sit and lift weights in a more comfortable position, I would kind of go towards that direction.
Okay.
So didn't really have a race in mind entering pregnancy. It really was just like a day-by-day survival.
And all of us kind of do a day-by-day survival sometimes. What other complications did you find? So you, for 21 weeks, you were kind of just building up mileage, correct?
Yeah.
And so what are the complications along the way aside from, you know, trying to stay hydrated and have foods in you, did you run across?
Well, I did know that I had a baseline fitness. So before after my son was born 2 years ago, I had worked up to 50 Ks. So I had completed 250 Ks prior to this current pregnancy. So I knew I had a baseline fitness. I had strong joints. Natch had actually PR'd my marathon in the last 50K. So I knew I had the legs for it. So I wasn't stressing as much about the mileage. But the new symptoms, they seemed to come on every week.
Yeah.
And so there was obviously nausea, sometimes headaches, the constant urge to urinate. So that's not fun.
Yeah.
That only gets worse in pregnancy as the weeks go on. In 2020, in my previous pregnancy, I had leg cramps. So I was really concerned that those would come back. They just seemed to come on randomly, even in the middle of the night. So I was really pleasantly surprised when I didn't get those this time.
Do you think that was from being so much more hydrated after working with the nutritionist? That maybe that was some of it?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Because they came on kind of around this time that I would have been doing this marathon. So they weren't even occurring early on in the pregnancy. So that was really random, I thought. And it is hard to compare different pregnancies like that, but
Sure.
I felt like I gravitated towards the same foods. So not a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, a lot of processed foods. And so maybe I feel like I was getting a lot of sodium both times. So
Okay.
it's really hard to say.
Now I
And
know with my running, I have to wear a bigger shoe, right? Because your feet swell. What was that like? Was that one of your symptoms? Did you have more swelling?
yes. So I did notice a little bit of swelling, especially after the plane ride.
Oh, yeah.
So I flew to Hawaii to complete this race. I live in Wisconsin, and I really wanted to have a little bit of a baby moon. So my husband and son came with, and I definitely noticed swelling, even though I wore compression socks after those long flights. Maybe everyone would have gotten that. I don't know.
Right.
But going into the race, I already had swelling.
Oh
So
no.
that was kind of nerve-wracking. As far as other pregnancy symptoms, as my belly got bigger, I definitely had like side stitches, from those ligaments connecting to my uterus. So
Oh,
they
sure.
felt just like side stitches, pretty sharp. But as you warm up in mileage, sometimes they go away. And so that's what I noticed after weeks of doing long runs, pregnant, during both pregnancies. They're not, am I going to injure myself? They're going to go away. They're just very uncomfortable.
Did you wear compression socks for the race as well, or just on the plane ride?
Yeah, so a lot of times during the day, just my day-to-day life, I'll wear the compression socks. I wore them during the plane ride, at the airport, and then also for the race. So I packed a couple pair.
Okay. Did you wear any other types of things to help with support for your race? You know, other than obviously a sports bra, but anything else to help with, jiggling?
I had planned to take my belly band. It's called a fit splint
Okay.
for up my belly, but I actually forgot it.
Oh no.
It was probably like one of the most important things I felt that I needed. Ultimately, I was able to find athletic tape, KT tape,
Yeah.
at a Target on the island.
Oh, nice.
So I just put that athletic tape, maybe like four strips down my belly,
To help
and
support.
just to help support, to kind of help with back pain. Although backtracking to first trimester when I did all the strength training, I was doing squats, I was doing deadlifts. I actually think I strengthened my back and I didn't have back pain
Awesome.
during my marathon. So that was really exciting. I'm not going to chalk it all up to the athletic tape. But
Yeah.
I think it may have helped a little bit. I did notice some like uterine contractions while I was running. They just feel like menstrual cramps.
Sure.
And that is something I had my first pregnancy, whether I was running or not.
Oh, wow.
So I think it kind of helped that this wasn't my first pregnancy and I knew, yep, these cramps are uncomfortable, they'll go away. And they did.
Okay. Wow, you had them during the race. Oh
Yes.
man.
Well, I had them before the race, I had them after the race, I had them
Yeah.
on the plane, I had them at nighttime.
Wow.
They just kind of come and go, and they're the body's way to practice for labor. So
Sure.
they're called Braxton Hicks contractions,
Right.
and they never progress to actual labor. So they're just more like cramping.
But you weren't freaked
But
out
that is a
about it.
concern that I could go into labor, right?
Right.
So I
Yeah.
did look and make sure I knew where the nearest hospital was. And yes, there's a hospital on the island. And of course, as luck would have it, my husband's a doctor. So
That
that's
helps.
kind of nice too. He doesn't like delivering babies, but he would if he had to.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. So then that, since you had had those before during running and whatever, it didn't freak you out to have those during your marathon. You're like, yep, I know what this is. It's nothing to be alarmed about. Yeah.
Yes, and although I would wait to make sure that they went away. So I'd kind of keep track of them and make sure that they were fading off. So that was really nice. I didn't listen to music or wear headphones either, because I wanted to be in tune with my body and, of course, take in the natural sights and
Right.
sounds and
Hawaii, heck yeah.
meet new people.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun, and I didn't really need it. I also started at 4:30 in the morning
Oh my.
because this race offered an optional early start. So it was 60 degrees when I started and raining. So even if I had worn that belly support band, it would have just gotten soaked. I don't even know that I would have kept it on, to be honest.
Okay. So what was that
So
like with all the rain? How was the chafing? Because I mean, marathons are no joke. You get chafing anyway, but to run in the rain like that with more things moving around, was the chafing bad?
of course, I ran in all new gear.
Well, of
You know,
course you
I
did.
gained 10 pounds. You got to get a new bra at that
Oh,
point.
yeah.
You got to get new shorts. So I did my best to test everything out before the race, but that was very difficult. I did get new shoes. I got elastics to replace the shoelaces, because I knew that maybe I'd have swelling and I'd have to loosen up my shoelaces as the race went on. Luckily, they were very accommodating and I didn't have that problem with the compression socks. So
Now, did you run the whole race or did you do some run walk? How did you make it through?
oh yeah, I was gonna tell you what kind of product I use for chafing
Oh,
too,
yeah,
though.
sorry, go ahead.
You're fine. It is a product called Salty Bridges, and it's a lanolin-based anti-chafe.
Nice.
So it was initially created to prevent saltwater chafing. And I just, ordered it off Amazon. I coated my feet with it, and I had tested it out on a 9 mile run a couple weeks before, and it had stayed put.
Nice.
So I felt comfortable using it and just kind of put it generously on my feet because I knew it was going to rain for the first couple hours of the race. It's their rainy season.
Sure.
So just kind of put it all over. And then as far as like run walking, this particular race had a course that was 1.64 miles. And so I had to do 16 laps. So I just told myself mentally, you're not running 26.2 miles, you're running 16 laps. And of course, there's a massive aid station with all the food and bathrooms. So all I had to do was run that 1.64 miles and then reevaluate where I was.
Nice.
And, I'd walk it in, use the bathroom, because I had that nagging, you have to pee, you have to pee, you have to pee, coming from my brain. Of course, I would sit down and not really have to go a ton, but that gave me a breather that lowered my heart rate. It helped me stay cool. And then I was able to walk over to the aid station and take my nutrition. I used, what's it called? The Yucan gels.
Okay.
Yeah, so I found through that first trimester and the second trimester where I was able to do more long runs that that had sat well. So I stuck with that. And then I also, as it approached like lunchtime, I was able to venture out and eat some Rice Krispie treats and bits of a turkey sandwich they had cut up into fours.
Nice. Now, how
So it
long
was like
did
a
you?
full ultra aid
Because if
station.
you started at 4:30 and you're saying got close to lunchtime, how long did it take you to finish?
So because of the hour or the time zone change, 4:30 in Hawaii, the Hawaiian time is 8:30 in Central Time.
Oh.
So for me, it was kind of around mile 20 or the 4 hour mark.
I see. Okay.
Is lunchtime for my stomach.
Right.
It wasn't exactly lunchtime in Hawaii time.
Gotcha. Okay, well that's more comforting to know that you weren't out there for 12 hours. That's great.
Yeah, the 4 hour mark, I think in any kind of long run, my stomach kind of wakes up and says,
Yeah.
"Hey, can I eat?" Oh, I was gonna tell you, what I ate for breakfast because I knew like the hotel breakfast wasn't going to be open yet. So when we pulled up to the Target to get the athletic tape, I also picked up some Ensure protein shakes. So that morning, as I was getting ready, I was able to chug down two Ensure shakes, and that was about 700 calories. So I
Nice.
knew I wouldn't be starting at a deficit, and that was gonna help my overall race.
Right. Yeah, and I imagine that after 4 hours, those Yucans are not nearly enough, and that turkey sandwich was really hitting the spot.
Yes, I did also try like a couple of chips. I had, I think Fritos and just kind of whatever sounded good, some solid food.
And everything
I
stayed
had,
down.
yeah, I
Nothing.
wasn't running very fast.
Good.
I think I was doing like 10 or 11 minute miles, but then I would stop at the aid station every single time. And so the aid station had soda and Gatorade. So I had my big, I'll kind of show you. This is my massive, this is what I took to the race because it was a cupless race. And so I had put my scratch fuel and electrolytes in here. And you know, that's pretty concentrated,
Right.
but it's a very mild flavor and I knew it could handle it. So I filled this gallon up. Then I also had my little plastic cup with my name on it. And I would have them put their Gatorade in that. So I would either take a sip of my drink or the Gatorade. And just from, I guess, going out for runs after eating meals, like breakfast or lunch, during my everyday life, I knew that I could pretty much run on anything.
I really
But
like when you said that you reassessed after each time you come back. That's so smart. That is really listening to your body. That's huge. That's really huge. What was the in your training, in your everyday life, as you say, what was your longest training distance that you did for this marathon?
so it's kind of embarrassing, but I use my nap times for my son as my training time. So I would kind of mentally know that just from years of running races that you just need a solid amount of 2 hour to 3 hour runs, maybe like once a week to get prepared for a distance this long. So I knew that if my son slept for 2 hours or 2 to 3 hours, because he's a pretty solid sleeper, I'm lucky in that sense, I could go out and do 2 7-mile laps around my neighborhood. So I did that once or twice a week for, I want to say, at least a month. So my overall mileage was pretty low. I would say 20 to 40 miles. Once I started incorporating those longer runs, and a lot of time they would be during those nap times. So there were a couple times where I didn't do any long runs longer than 14 miles, but I would do 2 of them in a week.
Right. So the
And
overall
so,
buildup was still there.
and my idea was that, you know, with the pregnancy hormones and my joints being a little extra loose, I didn't want to risk injury, so the 14-mile loops, they would take me 2.5 hours, and I felt pretty confident that that was a good base building activity.
Sure. And it must have been because you finished. Got that Hawaii state.
Yes.
What was your taper like?
I wasn't sure how long to taper, you know, but about a month in, I did get, or about a month from the race, I did get sick. So I have just
Yeah. Who
COVID.
doesn't anymore?
As we've all had it. So I had a sore throat, stuffy nose. And of course, at the time, I didn't know it was even COVID, but you know, I listened to my body and I took some rest there. And then I got back into doing a couple shorter runs. It kind of coincided with our Christmas holiday. We went out of town. So my taper probably was a month, and I stayed active during it, but I wasn't able to do any more long runs.
But you know, really, that's for a taper. You don't want to just sit for 2 weeks anyways, you know, because
No,
I mean,
no.
the average is 2 to 4 weeks for a taper, but you're not just sitting. You're still doing things. They're just not recommending long runs. So that sounds perfect. That sounds like that really
Yeah, so I
worked well.
continued to do strength training. I was on the stair climber. I was on my spin bike. I ran, I think, 2 weeks out, I did like a 9 mile run just
Nice.
with some friends.
That sounds perfect. Great. Anything else you want to add about your running? What you got coming up next on the docket? Do you have any other races on your calendar?
I might be looking to see what's available next fall, but of course, by then I'll have another baby, so can't make a whole lot of plans. I just want to continue to do my little 20 or 30 minute workouts from now until after baby, and then just kind of stay fit. I think before I had kids, I focused a lot more on mileage, and now I focus quite a bit more on my overall fitness. So I saw how helpful strength training was for this marathon. I still had legs at mile 27. So my race ended up being 27 miles because of all my body breathing.
Those little extra distances, dang it, they add
Yes, they do.
up.
So I was able to do like 10-minute miles while I was running. But then with all the added walking, it took my race up to 5 hours and 41 minutes.
It's
And
still,
I
it's,
wasn't sore.
yeah.
I wasn't sore for the rest of my trip. I was able to go swimming and hiking and all that fun stuff afterwards. I didn't have chafing.
That's great.
So I felt pretty successful. I didn't have that in mind. I'm on family vacation. I want to do stuff with my family
Sure.
afterwards.
Yeah, sounds like you
So,
nailed it.
no plans.
You are the picture of pregnancy running if ever I saw it. That's great.
Don't know. I did feel pretty slow. I did, feel that weight
Oh,
pulling
I'm
me
sure.
forward. That was kind of rough, but I walked, I took pictures, I was a tourist,
That's
so that was pretty
awesome.
fun.
Yeah, but 26 weeks, man, that's no joke to be running a marathon at 26 weeks pregnant. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, what's the, I think the percentage of people who actually run marathons is like 1% of the population. What do you think that percentage is of 6 months pregnant? Or was that the 26
It's
weeks?
going up. I've heard other women on other podcasts talk about it.
There's probably three of you.
So,
Let's be real.
well, I heard the last Boston Marathon, there were two women in the third trimester
No
running.
kidding.
I know. So people are doing it. I think kind of hearing what the curveballs are kind of helps you prepare for them. And
And if it's something you love, you want to keep doing it. You don't want to just, oh, I'm pregnant, got to sit down now. So the fact that you still lift, you still run, you know, you get out there and do all the things, that's kudos to you.
yes, and it's encouraged, so that's a big deal. I work with midwives, but even obstetricians will tell you pregnant women should exercise 30 minutes a day. So that's basically just what I did. I called it training.
That's
So
awesome.
it's more about the consistency than the number of miles, I think. Just overall fitness over your mileage.
Yeah, and you
That's it.
even said at one point in our conversation that, you know, sometimes it was 10 minutes, sometimes it was 20, but you were consistent. And I think that's key. That's really key. It's just being consistent. Do
I knew I
something.
had fitness from before pregnancy, so my goal was to eat enough and continue the activity to maintain that fitness because I knew as I gained weight, I would be relying more on it.
Yeah, that's
My
true.
background.
Awesome. And do you have any other further comments, questions, concerns?
I think I had reached out to you a couple weeks ago. And this may be more for like Coach's Corner, but I had asked you how long should a pregnant woman taper, and What's the longest long run a pregnant woman should do training for a marathon? And I know I'm only an experiment of one.
Our N1, yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
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 So I think it's just that. I think I kind of answered for myself, just kind of out of necessity, but
Yeah.
I didn't
Hitting
know if you
sick.
had heard anything about that either.
Well, so that will bring us to our coach's corner. The typical taper is they suggest 2 to 4 weeks, which is actually what you did. But it's also, you're not just sitting for 2 to 4 weeks, right? Like you did. You kept active. You had, other things that you did. You rode your spin bike. But you start tapering down the distance, mileage, time of your runs so that your legs can absorb all that training. And that's why you are usually more quicker on a race than what your last training run was, because your body has had a chance to take all that training in. Your legs have healed up, all those little microfibers, and you're ready to run too. I don't know about you, but after a taper, I get antsy and I'm ready for that race. I'm like a horse going to the barn, I'm chomping at the bit to go, and it's because of that taper. So it sounds like you really nailed it. And then, so the same thing for the long runs. I haven't really heard of or researched anything of like the recommended distance for a pregnant person. But again, talking to your doctor is key. And I think just because you had the overall volume, I think that's really huge. And the fact that you weren't out to win it, right? You were just enjoying the race, doing a little running, walking, and listening to your body as you went. I think that's really key, because everybody's different. Whether you're pregnant or not, those long miles, those long runs, everybody's different on what works for them and whatever. So, any other questions, comments, concerns? I have 3 questions from one of my podcast listeners, and she's on the Facebook, and Melissa asked a few questions. Are you ready to get into that?
Yeah,
Okay.
sure.
You want to help me answer them as well? All
I'm
right.
no coach, I don't
No,
know, but
but hers are pretty. They're not technical for the most part. There is one that kind of is. So her first question is, how to maintain a relationship with someone who doesn't run and who doesn't understand your goals, whether they're a friend or a loved one. Now, I know my husband doesn't run, but he is so supportive of my runs. If he comes to my race, he is just the best Sherpa ever, and he's really great about that. But I think, what I do for our relationship is I try to run while he's at work, try to make it back and spend his off time with him. And it's a little more inconvenient for me, right? Because I might have to get up later, run or get up earlier, run later. But so I just try to weave my goals and my runs or whatever I'm doing around his time to not put him out too much. But I also, like on Saturdays when I do a long run, he doesn't work on Saturday. And so I say, so what do you got planned for the weekend? So that hopefully we can occupy him while I can go out for a long run. So, that works for me. What do you usually do?
Well, I'm kind of in a similar boat in that my husband is very supportive and he does like, even though he doesn't run, he likes to lift weights. So he understands the passion and drive. So luckily I do get to run while he is at the gym or at work. I would say my son is the least supportive with him being 2 years old. So that's why I did do a lot of my runs in the morning before he was awake, during his nap time, or after he went to sleep. So I think for my coworkers and my family members who don't understand and aren't supportive, I just, I keep it to myself. I don't want them to feel like I'm looking down on them or passing any judgment or that kind of thing. I don't know where this person's coming from in this question, but I do try to focus on the people I'm with in the time that I have with them as well.
Yeah, and it's hard because we do have so much passion for our running to not talk about it all the time. But
That's why we have our running friends.
yeah,
So
that's true. All
is
right.
that your like friend circle?
Yes. Oh, need some for running and some for not running. Who doesn't run? Her next question is, what are common running injuries and how do you prevent them? I feel like the two most common injuries are IT band issues and plantar fascia issues, which the plantar fascia is on the bottom of your foot, which usually causes either foot pain or heel pain. And then IT band runs up the sides of your legs and causes knee pain typically or quad pain or whatever. To prevent those injuries, the thing I can recommend the most is mobility exercise. There's some good books out there. My favorite right now that I'm reading, or there's two of them by the same author, is Ready to Run and Supple Leopard. And of course, I forgot his name. I think his last name is Starlet. But I've been practicing 10 minutes at minimum a day of two of his mobility exercises just for the last 12 days, I think it's been. And I've noticed a huge difference in how my legs feel after running. You know, it's, and even throughout the rest of the day. Do you have anything that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, so I've definitely struggled with both of those in my past. And that my top two stretches that I would do for those, you know, after you're nice and warmed up. This isn't like while you're injured, but it's for preventing it, is, you know, doing the yoga poses, downward dog, and really stretching out the calves and the hamstrings. So obviously foam rolling would help as well. You could foam roll your calf area to kind of loosen up the muscle, and then therefore like the tendons connecting to your plantar fascia. That's really helpful. And then getting into a pigeon pose for the IT band, that kind of helps. So even if you're just like 2 or 3 miles into your run and you start to feel a little bit of pain, if you can get off the sidewalk or the trail and into the grass and do a little pigeon pose or a calf stretch, sometimes that can save your run and prevent injury.
Yeah, definitely that
It's
foam
hard.
roller.
It's hard to take time to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that foam
It
roller should
is.
be your best friend. And as
Yeah.
I've gotten older, I've also noticed that I have to have a longer warm up, which is not included in the running warm up, right? So before I even start running, I do leg swings and squats, you know, like air squats, and then progress those to some jump squats and anything that's active moving for my warm up. And like I said, as I've gotten older, that's gotten longer. I'm good 10, 15 minutes now for just the warm up, maybe some jumping jacks, you know, do some leg overs and whatever to warm up.
The
And then,
crab walks.
yeah. And at the end, it's that foam roller. That has to be your best friend. That, and I've been using a racquetball on the bottom of my foot. Holy moly. That is, I mean, it's tender when you first start using it, but
Oh,
now
yeah.
if my toes were longer, I could probably almost pick that up. I probably could pick up marbles now, where I did not have any mobility in my feet at all, and now I can. I almost feel like part monkey. Maybe I could climb some trees. But yeah, mobility and that foam roller and, you know, golf ball, tennis ball, racquetball, whatever you got, rolling your body parts. And I use it sometimes on my quads. If my quads are a little tight, I'll stick that, I'll go for the foam roller first, and then I put that little ball under there. Good morning. That'll wake you up. If you weren't awake, it's like, hello. So yeah, that's key. Anything else that came across your mind on that one?
No, I think you can do this, you know, before, during, or after your workout. Just get it in. It doesn't matter. It can be in the shower.
Yeah, right.
Just get it in.
Yep.
It can be in bed.
Yeah, hot tub if you have one. I love
I'm
stretching in
so
the hot tub.
jealous.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I don't have one, but I've done it. All right, and her last question is, how do you maintain your focus towards a goal and not lose the drive when the days get tough? Well, I too live in Wisconsin with you, and right now it is getting bitter cold out, and I start to lose a little bit of motivation and drive towards my goals that I have. And especially when it's not sunny. That's so hard when I mean, if it's cold out and it's sunny, I'm okay, right? Because that sunshine just makes a difference. But, you know, so usually what I do is I'll tell myself, all right, just go out for a mile. If you're not feeling it, come back home. And I have done that. I've gone out for a mile and turned around and walked back home. I didn't even run. I walked back home because it just wasn't in there, right? And there's been times when I'm going out for a mile, sun was out, I felt better, and I might run 10, 15 miles, whatever, you know, because it did feel better. But sometimes you just have to give yourself grace and go, you know what? Today's not that day. Maybe a good night's sleep and it'll be better tomorrow. But I always try to do something just to say, okay, I'm going to try. How am I feeling? If I'm not feeling it, then I just pull the plug. What about you?
Yeah, very similar. I'll at least tell myself I'm going to do 10 minutes. So if I can't get out the door for a run, and that was my goal for the day, then maybe I'll switch to like a YouTube workout, you know, or so that could be strength training or cardio based.
Sure.
But a lot of times after the 10 minutes goes by, you are feeling a little bit better. So then you can probably continue. But just getting anything to improve your fitness, I think can translate to your race.
Yeah, I think even if you just went for a walk around the block, maybe that's all you had in you mentally that day, you know? Because usually
Yeah.
that's what it is. It's more so that mental focus versus the actual physical. You know, you can do the run or lift the weights or whatever you have, ride the bike for that day or swim the miles or whatever it is you're planning. And, you know, maybe you just go and float on your back in the pool. And if you feel like swimming, you swim. Or, you know, my favorite thing on the bike, because I usually, mine's up on a trainer, is I have a little stand next to it and I usually will have some snacks there and a cup of coffee, and I can, you know, catch up on email or watch a video that I don't have time to watch, which I can't do while I'm running, right? I don't get to have a cup of coffee, a nice hot cup of coffee sitting next to me, and some great snacks. So sometimes that'll be my motivator. I'm going to have this while I'm sitting on the bike and I'm pedaling away. And that makes, you know, and I laugh about it, but sometimes that's all it takes is, okay, I got 10 minutes in, maybe I'll go 20 now and, you know, do a little more. But sometimes it's just like, I just need to move. I just need to get up and do something. And this time I'm having a cup of coffee and some chocolates while I do it. You know, just whatever, you know, kind of suits your mood for that. But it just, I think moving, any kind of movement for 10 minutes a day, we just got to get up and get out there and do something.
Yeah, even if it's just that mobility and stretching that we were saying.
Yeah, something. You got to do something.
Something. And snacks will fix a lot of your problems too. I'm
Right?
saying.
Amen.
There have been times, you know, where I don't want to go out for a run, and then I have, you know, some leftover Halloween candy or Easter candy or whatever we have around the house, and all of a sudden I have energy from out of nowhere.
Yep, candy bars are a good bribery. All right, Christina. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. We're going to get this all wrapped up. And any last comments, thoughts, questions, concerns?
No, I think we covered quite a bit. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for listening. In the show notes, you'll find connections to get with me or Christina if you have any other questions. And make sure you give us 5 stars on our rating, like this podcast, and share it with others. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye.